feast that we've enjoyed the past couple of days. Everything was delicious. But the best part about this meeting, though, has been the spirit in it. Has been from God. Now, this is from God back here, too. And we can prepare it the way we like it. But only God can prepare the things from above the way we need it.
Right.
And He gives what we need. So it is... thank you, brother. I'm not going to be like Brother Doyle and turn that on. I am thankful to be here, and I'll try to push on out of Brother David's way. And me and Brother David, if y'all recognize this, we have the same jacket on. I just discovered that. The very same one, same pads on the back and everything. So we're kind of dressed alike. I do appreciate the opportunity and thankful for this this time to stand before you and ask that you would please pray. The scripture in the book of Jeremiah says that the Lord hath opened up His armory and hath opened up His armory and hath chosen the weapons of His indignation. For this is the work of the Lord. And it says after that upon the Chaldeans. But the Lord has He has an armory. And within that armory, He has His own weapons. And they are the weapons of indignation. Remember that whatever God does, even in indignation, is righteous.
That's right. Amen.
It is never wrong. We as sinners sometimes question. Sometimes we blame Him. But He can be blamed for nothing.
Amen.
Now, this is the springboard of where I would like to take this now. I want to speak to you a little while about some of God's weapons. Really one in particular. And that is a sword. Now, how God uses these swords is in His own way and His own time. The first sword that we see that God places comes in the, or outside, the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Now, if you remember, the devil had beguiled Eve, told her that God knows that when you eat that tree that ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what deception is that? But that just goes to show that man, even in his state of innocence, was still prone to be like God, or at least think he could be. Mm-hmm. And that was the deception. He had no way to be like God.
Amen.
But Satan told him, told her, and Adam being privy to it, no doubt, that you eat it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.
Right.
And we know what happened after that. So this is in the end of the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And the 22nd verse says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." Now, God's really not, He's not saying that Adam has really advanced like one of us. Only that it was his presumption that he would. And listening to the deceptions of the serpent, presumed that he could be like us. So look at it. In fact, there's really nothing any further. He has actually gone further away from God. There is such a great separation now between God and the people of God. Now, when he says that he has become of one of us, it means that that was his intention and design. Because man thinking that he could have been like God in innocence, in his innocent state, will now, in all likelihood, presume that he can get back to the tree of life. So notice what God does. The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. That is, he thought he can be God. Mm-hmm. Look where it got him. So in his state now, he's going to presume that he can get back to this tree at his own free will, at his own design,
right,
and in his own way.
That's right.
And can eat of this tree and live forever. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop that. So it says that, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. He drove the man out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword. A sword that God wielded himself, put there for a particular reason. And it's a flaming sword. This is not just any sword. This is a sword that keeps. Now I want you to notice the singular context that God says, I will place a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way.
Yeah.
There are not ways, there are not different avenues.
Amen.
There is the way of the tree of life.
Right.
Now, the sword is told that it turns every direction. And as man can conceive every thought to get back to the tree. In other words, man can conjure up and even use Bible scriptures and take them a little here and a little there and ignore so many other ones. And so try to form a system within himself to get back to the tree and take of that tree and live forever. That tree being no doubt the Son of God. But the flaming sword turns every way. And it burns every invention that we come up with. And it keeps the only way back to Him.
Amen.
So when Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 says, no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father. In John chapter 10, the Son of God, chapter 14, the Son of God says, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. So it looks like that our God has a monopoly on salvation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because he does. That is, he has the right to it. He has the only means of giving it. And he has shut out every other way.
That's right.
And so people say, you primitive Baptists don't give anybody much credit out here in their religion and things like that. I don't give myself credit.
Amen.
I can't get back to this tree of life. I have no access to it. The flaming sword of God keeps me out other than, and we'll get to that in a little bit, other than I'm a part of the way. If I'm not part of the way, I have no access to it. Now, we are in a church state, are we not? In a visible church state today. I want to tell you that this tree of life, and if you read in the book of Revelations, after the Lord had talked to the church at Ephesus, he said in the last part, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches. To he that overcometh, will I give a right to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That is a church. That was an existing church on earth. You have if you are a part of the way, you have a right to that tree.
Come on.
But you can't go get that as long as your heart is consumed with flesh and world and self and sin. If you are inundated, if you will, with all of the vain things of this world.
Amen.
Because that is what was keeping the church at Ephesus out. You remember what he said? I have somewhat against thee. Why? You have left your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Left it. Left it. Now I'm going to leave that part alone. Let's go back to the flaming sword. The choice. God's weapon. Now, Paul talks about in the book of Corinthians that he was a wise master builder. Said, I've laid the foundation. He said, other men may build thereon, but take heed how you build.
Yes, sir.
He said, if you build things of silver and gold and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. He said, the word of God, the fire of God will try that. In other words, the sword's going to touch it. And if it is made of earthly things, of fleshly devices, of individual being needed by the Lord Himself, and that is an awful thing to even consider. It baffles me when people cannot just unwrap what they believe and sit down and lay it open and say, God needs me to accept Him. You know, that's a hard thing to even say out in the open.
Amen.
That's you know, but the brother said here, we have to be accepted by God.
Amen.
And that's in every instance. Even your praises and your thanksgiving or your spiritual sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If there's anything that gets to our Father in heaven that is received and accepted of God, it is always through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. Right.
And that is whether it's my praising, my singing, my prayers, they have to go through Him.
Amen.
So does every blessing flow down from Him.
Yes.
He is a really important person. I think of Jacob's ladder sometimes, and I see a likeness of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
When the angels were ascending and descending on that ladder that reached from heaven to earth. So every true desire and prayer goes up that ladder. Every blessing from heaven comes back down that ladder. That ladder is the Son of God. Alright? And that in the way that I see it in that instance. Nothing can go up without going up the ladder. Nothing comes down without coming down the ladder. So He is an important person. And we have in the scriptures of what is called the Holy Bible. We have a way and a system that was designed by God. There are many devices in the heart of man, says Solomon, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Yeah.
So all of the devices in the heart of man that is presumed to get him to the tree of life, and it is pure presumption. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which reveals the will of God, opens unto us as a flaming sword burns it up. They have no access by that way. They may think they do. They may presume they do. But they have no access by that way. The flaming sword keeps them out. God keeps the way. We have and my wife, we talk about many things, and we talk about how people say, well, you know, such and such believe this way, and they just, you know, it's just okay that they believe like that. You know, that it's all the same God, and they just believe they get to Him this way. Such and such over here believe they get to Him this way, and it's okay they believe like that. It's the same God, and they just get to Him another way. Almost as if God's going to accept whatever you want to believe. You know, that God will just, if Brother Lofton and his family believe that, you know, by maybe jogging 3 miles a day, will get us to heaven. You know, that just because we believe it, that will be true. That is not the case. When God says He keeps the way of the tree of life, what He is saying is, it is impossible.
Right.
It's not improbable.
Amen.
It is impossible for mankind to formulate his own system and design to try to get himself back in favor with God.
Amen.
Right.
The only way that we see that this can happen, we come to another sword. Another sword that God wields Himself. Another one that is taken out. And if you go to the book of Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. In the 6th verse of that chapter. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? He shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword. This sword here has been lying dormant, waiting for a particular time. This sword is a sword of vengeance, righteous vengeance. It is a sword of judgment, righteous judgment. It is a sword of righteousness. It is a sword that God pulls out of His own sheath. It is now time. The Son of God would set His face toward Jerusalem and say, my time is at hand. If you remember in the book of 2 Samuel, when Absalom had chased David away, that David would flee from the wrath of his own son, as Absalom was trying to take over and so become the king of Israel. David would flee, going away from the wrath of his son, turn his face away from Jerusalem. Well, the Son of God did right the opposite. He turned his face toward it to go face the wrath of his father. And yet, there was nothing in him that deserved this sword. Amen. This was our sword.
Right.
This was ours. And had not God chosen to wield it toward his son, you and I would have no access to it.
Amen.
Not just you and I, nobody would.
Amen.
Nobody would. This is the way. So when he says, awake, O my sword, against my shepherd. Against my shepherd. So the sword of vengeance that God has now pulled out, we see at Calvary. We see the Son of God in His suffering. We see us in the Son of God in His suffering. Every one of the children of God were in Him at that time. Every one of the children of God were affixed to Him. Just like when Aaron would go into the holiest of holies one time a year. And on the breastplate and on the shoulder pads that would have the engravings of all the 12 children of Israel's names. 6 on each shoulder, 6 on each breastplate. So that He went in on their behalf. They did not accept His going in to them. He just went in for them. And He went in once a year did not go without blood. He had to have an offering of blood into that holiest of holies.
Amen.
So the Son of God had every one of His people with Him. In His hand, in His heart. Knew them in His mind. They were given unto Him. In fact, He said Himself, concerning these, in His prayer in John 17, thou hast loved them as thou hast lovest me. Mm-hmm. Now, you are loved as much in magnitude and duration.
Right.
As the Father loved the Son. How long has He loved the Son? Well, as long as He has been in existence, and that is eternity.
Right.
How long has He loved you? The same time.
Right.
How much does He love you? The same amount. It is the same love. And if He could ever quit being His Son, then you and I can quit being His sons and daughters.
Amen.
Right.
If the Son of God is not if we're not so with Him, the word is escaping me what I want. No, it's a whole nother scripture. But anyway, I'll come back to it in a little bit. Whatever He has in inheritance, We have. Brothers, y'all help me. It's in Romans.
Heirs of God.
Heirs. That's the word I want. You are heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Everything He has is yours and mine to have.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dave.
Yeah.
That's how the mind don't work sometimes.
Okay.
So everything the Son of God has is yours and mine to have.
Right.
He has so opened up the way to Himself to partake of His flesh and of His blood. You eat of His flesh, you drink of His blood. The Son of God says, "He that does this shall never perish." It is an absolute certainty. There is a certainty in the things where we believe that are in the Scriptures pertaining to our Savior. That's why you have no doubts in this. That's why, now I say no, you have no doubts in the way. You may have doubts of whether or not you're a partaker of it. And I hope to get just a little of that. I'm going to move on out of the way, Brother David. So the second sword we see that God wields is against His Son. He so inflicts and wounds, punishes on yours and my behalf as He did. Now, just think, if one sinner was given to Christ and He died for one sinner, what the punishment would be if it were me. You think about it, if it was you. One sinner. Okay, let's add that by a numerous amount that no man can number. All right? Now, you think that was a dark night He passed through? Do you understand? Can you fathom this sword of vengeance being placed on the Son of God? Shall we not try to live more accordingly to His praise and honor to this Son of God?
Amen.
To the Shepherd who was wounded for our offenses, who was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon Him. Not just the Adam sin that we no doubt inherited, but every actual sin that you will ever think of, that you'll ever commit. You say, "Brother, you mean just thinking of a sin is bad?" It is. Yeah, Jesus Christ says, "If a man lusts after another woman in his heart, he is a committer of adultery." Well, it goes the same way with you women. If you lust after another man in your heart, you commit adultery. You lust after money, you're a covetous person. If you feel like an anxious time would come to make you steal, you're a thief. You may never perform it, but it's in there. And if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all.
Right.
I think that the law is in this sword too.
Right.
See, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to pay the penalty of the law. It demands justice.
Right.
Somebody's going to pay.
That's,
you know,
right.
Those of you who ever watched that movie National Treasure, when they stole the Declaration of Independence and the FBI guy said, "Somebody's got to pay. Somebody's got to pay. Somebody is going to pay for your sins, either you or the Son of God." Now, thanks be unto God that He did not keep this sword in the sheath in a due time. And I want to make this point very clear. Paul speaks of three different conditions that we were in when Christ died for us. We were sinners, we were unholy, and we were enemies. Doesn't sound like we were really good people when He died for us. Doesn't sound like He expects us or so needed us. I mean, we can't even agree with most people on a way of salvation, a system of it. I do not agree. How would God depend on mankind who can't even agree on the way of it?
Amen.
Well, they wind up fighting with one another. Just proving that even religion itself is going to be something that they're going to argue about. And I would argue with them. Because I believe this is the only way, because God kept it. Every other way gets burned up.
Amen.
Right.
Is wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. Only the Son of God yields the precious stones. So, second sword is a sword of vengeance. God took it out of his sheath. The Lord smote his shepherd. The sheep scattered. But then he turned his heart to the little ones. Here we are. Because of that, the Lord has now turned to the little ones. And you say now, all right, that's two swords. Can you give another one? I can give another one. This one is a sword of dividing. One kept, one slew, and brought the judgment of God on his Son, or the judgment of our sins upon the Son, so as to free us from that judgment.
Amen.
So, if he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?
Amen.
How can he not? There is no way he can't. That's what kind of God we have.
Amen.
That's one worth serving.
Yes.
That's one worth giving our lives for. That's
Amen.
That's one, I don't even, agape? that's one worth agape. As Brother Winfrey spoke of yesterday. Now, this is how you know you had a part in that second sword. Or that second sword was wielded for you. This is how you know, by a sword of division. And again, the monopoly is God's. He keeps the way. He forms the way. He makes the way. He is the author of it. You are the recipients of it. And I hope I am too. The next one we find in Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any, what? Two-edged sword. Now, a one-edged sword is pretty sharp itself, but it's blunt on the other side.
Right.
A two-edged sword, flesh will not offer much resistance to it whatsoever. If somebody has a two-edged sword and they were to pierce... Oh, by the way, the Lord was pierced by the sword. if somebody was to pierce my flesh right here, with a two-edged sword, it would offer no resistance. What's there to resist it? Nothing can. Alright, well, the Son of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'll tell you that when He enters into an individual in His power, He does not come asking.
Right.
He does not tap the sword on the shoulder and say, "Hey, is it okay if I was to stab you? Because I'm going to divide you. I want to bring you to a sense of guilt and shame."
Right,
who's
right.
going to say, "Sure, that sounds fun to me"? Mm-hmm. None of this is fun.
Amen.
None of this is enjoyable to the flesh. The Son of God, when He comes penetrating in, He comes in power. He doesn't ask.
Yeah.
When it's the time of love.
Amen.
We sing that song of... Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man.
Amen.
I felt the arrows of distress, and I found I had no hiding place. There is no distress until this sword comes in. And this is when the Spirit of God invades. He doesn't come knocking and asking. This is when He invades. This is when He divides. This is when He goes into and is a discerner of every thought and intent of your heart. And that is a frightening thing for a sinner to have the light of God to reveal what has been in darkness for all those years. Or it could have been months. It could have been like John the Baptist. I mean, he was a six-month-old leaping in the womb of his mother at the salutation of Mary.
Amen. Right.
But when this sword comes, it divides. Mm-hmm. It now brings a contrary spirit.
That's right.
One opposite of what you have. And it will never appeal to the other side of you.
Right.
It is going to be a burden to you all the days of your life.
Right.
It is to me.
Amen.
There's nothing about old Lofton, I guarantee you, that the Spirit of God is willing to shake hands with.
Amen.
Now, when the sword divides, the same source comforts.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, there is a there is an ointment. There is a physician. He is called the Great One. And He is only for the sick. The whole needeth Him not, says the Son of God, but they that are sick. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are sick of yourself, mm-hmm. it is because this sword has entered in
Amen.
And made you sick.
Right.
And the ointment or the remedy to it is the same that came into it to devise it. It is the Son of God. What a blessed Savior we have.
Amen.
What a wonderful way of salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, this there is no variance in this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not God one way today, then tomorrow He's going to depend on us. It's all God the whole time.
Amen. Right.
All right, and all three of these swords are God's. And God keeps. God takes it out on His Son, so as you and I are spared His wrath and indignation. God then comes and divides, enters into the heart, makes His abode, walks in us, writes His laws on our fleshly tables now. They're not tables of stone any longer. They are fleshly tables of the heart. Makes you feel, makes you cry, makes you pray. Grace. It is a charming sound, isn't it? It's quite harmonious to the ears.
Amen.
You have a sword. I want to leave you with this. You and I have a sword, though. This is one that you and I shall wield if we should. This is the one that you and I and all of you know where I'm going. In the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, we are given a series of different types of armor to put on, or different parts of this armor. We are said to have a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the loins girt about with truth. We're to take the shield of faith, all these defensive weapons against our great adversary who is ever hurling those fiery darts. He has His own type of fire. And they are darts. And if you do not dress yourself in the armor that God gives, they will find their lodging place. And it will be for your hurt and your harm. The devil will do you no good. He may think, and he may dress everything up in cake and icing, but when you eat it, there's gravel in your teeth. There's one offensive weapon with which we have to fight. It is the Word of God, the sword of the truth.
Amen.
This is ours. This is every child of grace to go to. The words in here are living words. My words are life, says the Son of God. Sometimes these words, Brother Paul, will jump off their page, won't they? Yeah. I love your pastor here at Antioch Church. Brother Paul, and I'm glad, is in a good habit of calling me around 7:15 on some mornings, and I'm always up. He always says, "Did I get you up, brother?" I say, "No, you did not get me up. I'm actually sitting reading my Bible." He calls, and my wife is usually up with me at this time. And he said, "Brother, I want you to think about this scripture. What do you think about this?" And Ginger will say, "Put him on speakerphone," because she wants to hear him too. So I'll put him on speakerphone, and then we sit there and just listen and enjoy. And then and sometimes we have a good 30-minute conversation. Sometimes it's a little closer to work than that. But every time when I get off the phone, I feel better than it was before that phone rang. You have a good pastor here that cares for this church. He cares for the truth. And he lifts me up like that. And I thank you, brother. And I love you for it. And my wife does too. Because when we get off the phone, we usually say, "Boy, he just has a way of just making you feel better." You know, and I wished I was more that way. He just just makes you feel good after you talk to Brother Paul. In other words, he's taking his sword. That's what I want to get at. He's taking the offensive weapon, or that which strikes, and will cut down every barrier of flesh, every worldly and vain thing there is, and cut it asunder, and leave nothing standing but the things of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what this word does, and that's what we do for each other. When we speak of the things of God, we're using that weapon. This is ours. This is ours to wield. We can't do anything about those other three. They are the work of God and God alone. We are the recipients of that work. But this, and everything contained in here, this is our meat and our drink. This is our sword. And I appreciate you, brother. Come on, Brother David.
Stand the same 178. Grace is the John.